Gotta be honest with you, partner. I didn't think I was going to make it today, man.
I didn't try to kill you on purpose. We just had too much time to kill today before the show.
Yeah, I told the story when we started today. Welcome in. It's Dukes and Bell. We did some stuff for the Hawks, our video shoots, and you guys will see it if you go down to Hawks games this year. We'll be up on the big screen, and you know, I'm not going to spoil what we did, but the professionals that Mike and I are, it only took us one take. And so literally we thought we'd be in this room with the folks that are shooting this video, right, you know, 20, 25 minutes. And they were like, you guys are good.
Let's do this again from the top. Sandra and I are going to walk down the hallway and then, wait, hold on. You got my fat eyeball. Gotta shoot that from the right, please. So apparently, Oren, you're telling me Steak and Sandra, it was 16 takes?
Something along that way, yeah.
Wow.
And Andy Randy did theirs as well, apparently.
Who is it? Sungmae Kim?
Some JM.
Yes. Yes. So we knocked this out in Mike, typical Mike Bell. He's like, yeah, let's get some lunch. And I'm like, well, I plan on being in here for 25. I got to make some phone calls. He's like, come on. I'm like, okay. Right. We go down to Holman and Finch right here in the building. That burger is so damn good.
Right. And, you know, we're sitting there like we're like the second person in the bar for lunch. It's only like 11:30. And, you know, they got the mixologists, you know, and the guy had all that stuff. So I said, well, you might as well. Might as well make me a nice High West Double Rye Manhattan.
Yes. Yes. And you know? So.
And then you had a delicious little beverage, it looked
like. Well, yeah, they had like a drink, you know, craft cocktails. I always talk about it. We're big into that. And I was like, yeah, let me try this. So anyways, that was the before the day got started. Problem was Mike and I still had to come back up here and prepare for the show. And literally as we're doing that, it's like,
dude, it's 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I got the itis.
Dude, I'm literally, Oren was laughing. We're just like, we're walking in here like it's the, what is it, the sloth in those cartoon movies? Like, gonna
hey,
do
y'all are done.
Some radio.
Well, you came in, you were like, hey, man. And we were like,
hey, man.
Hey.
Yeah, it took me a couple times to say hello before y'all answered. I thought that was kind of odd.
Nah,
yes.
It wasn't your fault. But you know what, Mike? I feel so much better now. 4 hours later. Well, 6 hours later, I'm doing better.
The Holman and Finch burger is almost working its way through our colon now, so we're getting better. But yeah, it was a sluggish start to the show, but we soldiered through.
All right, let me ask you something. Did he need to bring this up in the moment in which he brought it up? Now, if you're unfamiliar with what we're talking about.
It's trending right now.
Brett Favre reveals that he has been diagnosed with Parkinson's. But he did it while testifying in front of Congress. And if you're going to Dukes and Bell, why was he testifying? You guys remember, it's kind of been out of the news. Favre is 54 years old, but he appeared before the House Ways and Means Committee today as part of an ongoing investigation, Mike, into the potential misuse of taxpayer money when he disclosed his medical condition.
Yeah, this, you guys remember, there was that $77 million that was funneled away. It was supposed to be a program for needy families in the poorest state in the Union, Mississippi. And then eventually some money got funneled to Brett's company, and some also allegedly was funneled towards a basketball or no volleyball arena at Southern Miss. And a lot of folks go, wait a minute, that's not helping, you know, impoverished families. So he, and by the way, the text messages showed that he was working closely with the folks who were also getting in a lot of trouble.
That's
over
right.
These human services executives in Mississippi. Both the people he was talking with were arrested for misusing federal money. Now, Brett has not been charged, and he maintains his innocence. And this apparently was news to people, again, some former teammates. Now, I don't know how you can't say, look, it's your personal life, and if you decide to disclose you got Parkinson's, and we wouldn't wish that on anyone. And, you know, we know people that are dealing with it right now as we speak. But a lot of folks did feel it was kind of curious timing to drop that in the middle of his testimony to Congress.
I agree.
I mean, I love Brett Favre.
Because that's not what he was there for.
I love Brett Favre for everything he represents as a player. But, you know, some of the things since he's walked away from the game, I mean, you really, unless you're a diehard Brett Favre fan, it's hard to wrap your head around.
Well, Mike, here's my thing. Are you insinuating that now that diagnosis had something to do with your decision-making when it came to this?
Because the company he was working with apparently was going to be working on drugs to fight a concussion.
Correct.
Or symptoms from concussion. So it's almost like you try to rope it in. Look, if they can prove that this stuff has a chain and these people actually had some research that could help with the Parkinson's fight, then okay, more power to you. But a lot of folks are feeling it's kind of, you know, Brett playing for sympathy in this moment, and I hate to say that with anyone dealing with Parkinson's, but Brett chose this time to disclose his medical condition.
It worsens over time. Tremors, movement becomes more difficult, speech changes. So, again, this is going to be a battle for him, and we're not wishing him nothing but the best. I just think the timing of when he delivered this was interesting. Now, from one former quarterback to a current one, Dolphins QB Mike Tua Tagovailoa is going to meet with outside neurologists this week. Okay, so today we brought up the fact that Mike Tomlin said, I'm not going to name a starter, right? the Dolphins have been in flux here. They're not sure if Tua is going to be able to come back. I'm sure they're hoping. But as an organization, Mike, you've got to be planning for the worst. And Tua, today, Mike McDaniel said, listen, that's the head coach. He said the plan hasn't changed. We know where it stands right now, and he'll continue to see neurologists while he's out on this, you know, this stint on IR. But I don't know if that changes anything for the Dolphins. And it gets me to, don't you have to try to make a trade for somebody? Listen, Skylar Thompson, God bless him, he's not the answer.
Yeah, we were talking earlier today, and I was saying, you know, would you call if the Steelers continue? And again, you know Mike Tomlin, he's played him close to the vest. He's not going to tell you that, you know, he's not going to say. They ask him, why don't you just name Justin Fields your quarterback? There's no reason to.
Yep.
Don't have to. How's that, coach?
Not so, going to.
But, you know, you could argue if Fields continues to do everything they need. Now, having Russell Wilson is one hell of an insurance policy. Could you leverage Russell Wilson for a draft pick from the Dolphins if they decide to, whatever's going to happen, maybe Tua decides to shut it down this year?
Well, don't you think they're all in? Didn't they pay everybody this offseason?
And the team is pretty much, now, I'm still not sold on that Dolphins defense, but you need a delivery system to get the ball to Tariq Hill and Jalen Waddle and everybody else. So, yeah, we were talking with Sheree Burris, who used to work here in Atlanta, then D.C., now is with the NFL Network. And she was like, yeah, that's pretty interesting. The Bryce Young thing is, you know, you're going to have to train Bryce Young to fit your offense. And I don't know if that's a project that Miami wants to take on. And Russell Wilson, the knock on him with Sean Payton was he improvs too much and he won't play within the structure. And that's what got him sideways with Pete Carroll's offensive coordinator. I don't know. I would say that taking a guy off the street versus a former Super Bowl champion quarterback, I'd probably make a phone call to see if I could get Russell Wilson down there.
I agree. Last night, by the way, we got a chance to see, I think right now, the best rookie quarterback in Jayden Daniels, Mike. By the way, this hour is brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Firehouse Subs, enjoy more subs, save more lives. You'll hear our conversation with Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, coming up in less than 10 minutes here. Stay tuned for that. But the interesting thing is, two things last night. One, the Bengals are 0-3. Two, Trevor Lawrence, hello Cartersville, doesn't look good at all. And I just want you to hear what Trevor Lawrence had to say last night after that ridiculous beatdown by the Bills. That game was over like at halftime, if you ask me. Trevor Lawrence was taking accountability afterwards.
Players play, coaches coach, and when we step on the field, we got to make the plays. And so we have to take all the accountability, all the criticism, all the scrutiny, because we're not doing that right now, and that's our job, is to go make the plays. And I know that I'm not playing as good as I can play.
Mike,
appreciate him taking ownership of it. There's a lot of memes out there. You've seen it, Carl. He throws a really bad pick.
And, terrible.
Like, and granted, once you're down more than two scores against Buffalo, watch out. Katie bar the door, because now you can't run the ball with ETN, and they're going to just come after you.
You talking about the pick to DeMar Hamlin?
That was brutal.
Well, Hamlin, listen, the crowd erupted. And
you know, he kid's almost dead on the field in Kansas City.
Well, I was saying, I was sitting there, and I'm like, man, full circle. Like, for real, with DeMar Hamlin. But, yes, I agree with you. I'm just looking at him statistically right now. I'm talking about Trevor Lawrence. Mike, statistically, he's like the 25th, 26th best quarterback in the league. When I'm talking about Deshaun Watson and Will Levis potentially being better than you statistically, you are having a terrible start to the season. And I'm just telling you, I hope this is not the case. We want to see him succeed. We saw him here at high school. We saw him at Clemson. But at the end of the day, Mike, this is the NFL. And now you got a big bag to back it up. You got to start playing better.
Dude, he's getting paid buku bucks. Guys, it's a huge contract. It's top three in the NFL. And this is something, when we were initially having this conversation, the 2 o'clock hour, I would say, well, you know, he did lose Calvin Ridley to free agency to Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know, and Christian Kirk has been inconsistent. And then, you know, a couple guys hit us up and with the numbers, and I retweeted it, not trying to tick off all of Cartersville. We appreciate you listening. But when your comp is Daniel Jones and it's almost note for note, you're mediocre. You're not worth that contract. So, look, Peterson's going to lose his job. So he's looking at all options. I don't think it's Mac Jones, but these guys have got to get better. Trevor, to whom much is given, much is expected. What part of that is unfair? And the numbers, when you look at where Daniel Jones is considered the most overpaid, mediocre quarterback in the league, and right now Trevor Lawrence's numbers are right in line with his.
Now, the only thing I would say, and I can't make excuses for him, because I saw him make bad decisions last night. I watched their week two game. I was not impressed. But he has been sacked 15 times. That is a lot for 3 weeks into the season. They aren't protecting him, and you said this. Who's taking the top off the defense? Who is he throwing the football to? But wait a minute. If you got Doug Peterson, Mike, he's supposed to be able to scheme some stuff up. So the Jags just look bad right now. That was number one. Here on the other side of it is our former coach Dan Quinn, Mike, because he's got Jayden Daniels. Daniels looked great last night. Set a rookie record for completion percentage, 91%. He was on point, and the Commanders end up beating the Bengals. The Bengals are 0-3. Listen to Dan Quinn.
He's a really cool customer, and he's got like real poise about him. I thought going in, we knew the importance of the ball and you know, the decision making for that. We just couldn't give them short fields and chances to go. So his ability to know when to, when not to, when to make a play with his legs, I thought we've seen a lot of this at practice, and now it's carrying over into the games where the decision making, sliding, going, taking your shot. But I thought it was a really strong performance tonight by him.
Commanders 2-1, Phillies 2-1. Obviously, we beat them. Cowboys and Giants 1-2. Commanders may be a surprise.
Brother, you know much I love Jaden Daniels' game. Watching him take punishment, I saw him twice against Florida State in season openers, and he took a huge hit on that final touchdown. You know, and Bengals are coming back. But that Bengals defense was not even close to what it was supposed to look like on opening day. They're dealing with some injuries. They're probably the best 0-3 team.
No doubt.
That's no consolation to Bengals fans. Are going, what the hell's happening to his squad?
No question about it. If you're just joining us, Austin Riley will not return for the Braves. We've got six games to play. Mets in town for a three-game set. If we win 2 of 3, we own the season series, the head-to-head. If we sweep them, we really give ourselves a chance to make that last wild card spot. It is a big, big series. Coming up, we're going to talk to our man, Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. What did he think about Sunday night, and what does he think about the Saints coming in on Sunday? It's Dukes and Bell.
The most important story of the day. Brought to you by MaximumCashHomeBuyers.com. Fair cash offers for as-is homes. Don't waste your time with repairs. Call 678-902-2000.
Let's talk to Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. Wes, Sunday was electric. It was all day. Yep. I mean, listen, Mike and I had a show. We did a special version of Dukes and Bell 1-4 down there at the Signia Hotel. And people were amped up all day. And just not the game, just real quick, just like, you know, you calling these games, those Sunday night games, man, they feel big. They are big. What was it like for you?
Yeah, I noticed that going into the stadium on Sunday afternoon, there were already more people around the stadium, you know, 3.5 hours before game time than there are any other game. Yeah. Right. I mean, that was the first thing. The second thing was that now Kansas City had a lot of fans there. We had a lot of, but that's who Kansas City. But that's who it is. It's become one of those teams that now those teams nationally has gained a brand. So you know, the longstanding Chief fan has now been joined by people in the last 5 or 6 years, right? Which you understand.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's just what happens nationally with NFL fans, because you live in a marketplace where you have some connection to a team, or you like a player, or whatever the case may be. I mean, that's how I went from liking the Cowboys to the Steelers to the Giants when I was a kid growing up in North Carolina, because we didn't have pro football, right? I mean, it's just the way it was. And I think a lot of people have glammed on to the Chiefs, and rightly so. They've been very successful. So, but I noticed, Carl and Mike, that both fan bases were in the seats early. Now, you know, that late kickoff kind of begs some of that. The 1 o'clock game's a little trickier from an urgency standpoint to get everybody in place and the kids and everything and go. But nonetheless, I thought that was a huge boost. And then early on, they had something to get behind because Atlanta scored early and ended up being a really, really fun night that you wish you'd have won the ball game. But in terms of environments, it was pretty good. And I'm hoping that maybe Sunday we can find a way to replicate it for a 1 o'clock kick against the Saints.
I'm with you, Wes. I just felt that, you know, like just everything else this season and the two losses, there's plays, moments you want back, and there's just some things that, you know, you feel you – see, it's not doom and gloom. I'm feeling good. I think we're still scratching the surface of everything that we're going to be. I'm just curious what – we were talking about this before you came on. As Zach Robinson learns more about the tools he's got in that toolbox, and a lot of folks talking about Kyle Pitts, needless to say, that was a big moment, no call, we get that. But I think we got to utilize Kyle Pitts a little bit more in this game plan.
So I think the variety and the depth of the offense is going to be really interesting, especially in these three division games we've got coming up. I think Kyle's going to be a big part of it. You know, I thought he was productive the other night when given the opportunity. I thought Drake was as well. I think we talked about Darnell Mooney a little bit last week, right? Mm-hmm. I think Mooney is the guy who's really starting to step forward for sure. And I'm pretty excited about where this team can go. The key thing here is you got to do it in some degree of success. And, you know, look, I think the defense has played pretty well, in all honesty. given all the newness and all the things coming together in the first three games. And this Sunday thing is going to be quite a challenge. I mean, New Orleans is not just a team that has scored a lot of points. They've scored a lot of points early. It's kind of scary, the number they've put up. So I think you're going to have to be on your game, really, on both sides of the ball Sunday, in a way that maybe, Carl and Mike, you haven't had to be in the first three games. You know, you could kind of, you know, stick and move and bob and weave and feel everything out in the first couple, three games. But when you look at New Orleans, they're outscoring opponents 34-3 in the first quarter and 68-19 in the first half. So, I mean, you sit around and it's going to look like, you know, it's going to look like NC State and Clemson the other day. It's going to be 28-0. You're going to be going, what's happening? So I think you really got to be cognizant of how explosive they are, and at least early in these first three games on Sunday.
How much credit do you give to Jimmy Lake, Coach Raheem Morris, the defensive staff as a whole? I mean, listen, Patrick Mahomes hasn't looked great, but he threw the ball 39 times. I mean, he only had 217 yards. If you told me Patrick Mahomes was going to throw the ball 39 times, I would have thought he had, you know, close to 400 yards. I thought we did a really good job, and it was really situational football, Wes, with the defense. I'm just – that's probably the side of the ball I've been most impressed with.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that, you know, and look, let's be honest, we knew Jesse Bates was a really good player and Justin Simmons is a good player, right? And so your back end middle is really good. And make no mistake, they're not throwing at 24 at the corner. They're throwing at 21, and he's reacting well. Right. Mike Hughes has played very well. And, you know, we all thought, you know, well, they're going to do anything at the other corner opposite AJ. And they didn't, and now you know why they didn't. They had confidence in Mike Hughes. And I think that's well said about Jimmy Lake, who, you know, obviously was in L.A. a year ago after the one-year deal at Washington as their head coach. And I'm a Jimmy Lake guy from the standpoint I just like the way he talks about defense. And I think it's going to get interesting. That's why I'm confident in these next three games. These are really big games, guys. I don't think we can lose sight of how important the next three are in terms of just what you feel like after six games with 11 more left to go, right? And I'm hopeful that the defense can continue to play at that level and that the offense is, as I think Kirk would probably say, get it sorted out a little bit, especially on third down, because that number just does not fit the model of what this team is, in my opinion.
Now, we can still use more sacks. That's for darn sure. Only the Bucs have less sacks than we do, and at some point you do want to get that number up there. But I'm right. The defense is the least of my problems. How concerned are you with the offensive line? We saw Storm Norton fill in last year for him. Yeah. Newsel at center, it sounds like.
Yeah, I would guess so. I mean, based on everything we saw in the preseason and everything we saw the other night, I would suppose if Dahlman is an extended period of time, then Newsel would certainly be the guy. You know, Javon Gwynn was tried at center early in the preseason to see where that went. I'm not sure that was a positive experience. He's been inactive, and I'm guessing he is a guard.
Okay.
So I don't know if you have to do practice squad elevations or anything like that to you know, kind of buy some insurance behind Newsel, because what you don't want is to not have some guy active on game day if Newsel were to get hurt, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to find whoever your next best guy is who can play center and get him some reps this week behind what Ryan does. Storm Norton, to me, is a guy who knows how to play football, and he's one of those guys like Harvey Dahl, Mike. I think he's got that streak of Harvey Dahl. I think he's got that little Harvey Dahl streak in him. Now, he hadn't shown it very much, but I'm just looking at him, I think he's one that doesn't mind dusting off a pile when he has to. So I think that's the kind of guy you want. I really think it's the kind of guy you want when knowing that 93 may be over there on the other edge on Sunday, and Lord knows he may be going to the Hall of Fame because of success against Atlanta alone. So I'm hoping Cousins hears the history of Cam Jordan against the Falcons, and we address that a little bit too.
Yeah, no doubt. Alave, their offenses look good. You talked about the point differential.
Well, oh, my God.
Yeah, well, here's the deal, though, right? They got a new
Derek Carr looks like he's going to Canton, Carl.
But you got to get pressure on him, Wes. If you do, he doesn't do that.
I said it after week one, and you know, I give him a lot of credit because he's got Carr playing well. But even last week, I thought they blew their opportunities. We watched that game, and we were at the Signia Hotel. We sat there and watched it as it played out. Clint Kubiak's the coordinator. And I think the play calling that he the main thing is he's gotten Kamara back in the mix, right? I think that's that's the thing that they were missing like these last two seasons. Kamara's been the drink. I mean, he's been the stir that the straw that stirs the drink, should I say. They find him in all these different ways, and I think that to me, going into this game, Wes, what I'm getting to is we have to stop him. If we stop Kamara, I think we give ourselves a chance to win this game big. If we do not, it's going to be a long afternoon.
All right, let me roll something by you guys. The other day when I was watching some of their games, Kamara looks like he did as a rookie now.
Yes.
So remember when New Orleans came here on a Thursday night and he got knocked out of the ball game on the first drive after he had like four carries and it felt like 60 yards?
Right.
You remember that, Mike?
Yeah.
I mean, he got knocked out of the game and Atlanta ended up winning the game. I think that might have been – we were in the all red that night with the black numbers. I think we may have been.
Anyway, on the new unis. I know what you mean. Go ahead.
Yeah. The color rush or whatever that was called by the league marketing office.
Then, it sounds personal.
The idea of what he's doing is not only is he running the ball, but he's catching the ball out of the backfield. So when you add Olave and you add Shahid and some of these other guys, that creates another valve for Clint Kubiak. And I give Dennis Allen a lot of credit. Go find a guy that, you know, kind of gives your defense a little cushion because at times they've struggled defensively, minus the pass rushing of Jordan and guys like that. I think Brzee in the middle for them in that defensive front's a handful, the kid from Clemson. And we all know how good they've been at linebacker seemingly for the last decade. So, look, it's Falcons Saints. I mean, we can go through personnel and history and all of that, but the reality of it is Atlanta's got to find a way to win the ball game and dictate the tempo of the game. I think dictating the tempo on Sunday is as important as it's been in any of the three previous games, for sure.
Talking with our man, Wes Drewham. He and Arch, man, have a 1 o'clock. We found that 8 to 9 hours of pregame, even though we're seasoned professionals, was still very difficult to shake off on Monday morning,
Wes. Wait a second. Carl's already told me twice you were at the fabulous Signia Hotel.
Yes, we were.
So don't tell me that your 8 or 9 hours of pregame run-up was too much for a body by Adonis that you have when it comes to tailgating, Bill.
I got to be honest, though. We were dragging yesterday. Carl, am I lying?
No.
We were dragging.
It was and here's the thing. This is part of it. Because I said to everybody, pace yourself. And, you know, after we got done with our show, I necessarily didn't pace myself.
Yeah, so, we didn't follow our own advice.
Yeah, so that's why, like, as the game, you know, went on, it got to, like, you know, the game kicks off at 8:20. I know you're fresh. You know, you and Arch are ready to go.
Oh, yeah, I'm fresh, all right. I flew in from Boston that morning. Go ahead.
Oh, God, that's right, because he's doing it. Yeah,
but by 10 o'clock, you know, you're like, okay, let's go. You know? So, but listen, I want more Sunday night games. Let me ask you this before we let you go. It's West Durham.
Okay.
I don't think anybody's beating Miami in the ACC. I'm watching, Wes, and I know you're calling these games. And listen, sure. Clemson has looked like a completely different team after that Georgia loss.
That's a fact.
Miami, though, I'm just impressed with Cam Ward and his coolness. This kid's got 14 touchdowns, two interceptions, and he's already thrown for damn near 1,500 yards. Okay?
Right.
They're 4-0. They're at home this – matter of fact, they play Friday night. They're 4-0. I'm just saying, you tell me. I don't think anybody's beating Miami in the ACC.
Okay. All right. You can stand on that for a while.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't disagree with you. Right. I mean, but I also think, too, Louisville's got the right kind of mix to cause a problem.
Okay.
Clemson definitely has the right kind of mix to cause a problem. And I tweeted this out the other day. I don't know what – I mean, they've moved on from game one against Georgia.
Yeah.
Clemson's moved on.
Yeah, big time.
And Clemson's going to be the case study of, like, Ohio State the first year of the CFP when they lost to one of Mike's schools in Virginia Tech and then came back to, you know, ultimately win the national championship. Clemson may be our one-loss case study in the CFP this year. We'll see. Because if Clemson and Miami end up playing for the championship and Miami wins, Miami gets the automatic. Is Clemson in two losses going to be good enough to get in? I would say yes, but that's me. If they run the table the rest of the way. So it's going to be interesting. It really is. I think that these are all good conversations. But, yeah, Miami right now, absolutely. But can Miami avoid Miami-ing?
Uh-oh.
And you know what I mean.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But I think with the right quarterback, I think the coach, I don't think they can screw this one up. They've got it. And by the way, they're going to give FSU some payback for 2 years ago with the Hard Rock. That's going to be a tough one. Yeah.
Who did you just mention?
Starts with an S, ends with an S.
Oh, wait a second. I hadn't heard of it.
Yeah. Wait. Before we talk about them, Mike, let me tell you where I am Saturday night.
SMU?
First ever Atlantic Coast Conference game for Southern Methodist University is your beloved Seminoles Saturday night, 8 o'clock at Gerald Ford. No, not the President's Stadium.
The other one,
in Dallas.
Yeah,
it's a good, it's a good environment, Wes.
I was going to go, Wes. I was all excited about that, and then the season.
Well, let me tell you, they just hung 60-odd on TCU last week.
Yeah. I saw it. They won the skillet.
You guys haven't scored. You guys haven't scored 66 this season.
No, we'd like a refund on DJ Ukulele.
That's not right.
Hey, real quick, Wes, before we cut you loose.
Sometimes you win in the portal, sometimes you lose, Carl.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And we got outbid for Cam. Real quick, Alabama, Georgia. Georgia has an Alabama problem, as Carl likes to say. Is that swing around to Kirby this weekend?
I will say this. Georgia has been, even with the less than stellar effort, according to the head coach in the Bluegrass against the Cats, I would say this. Until somebody gets Georgia, not named Texas, I would lean Georgia at this point.
It's going to be,
I would lean Georgia. They are, in the times I've been able to see them, and I haven't seen every game, I saw a majority of the Clemson game, they have looked the best of any team I've seen. Now, Texas is in that conversation. Ohio State's in that conversation. Alabama has looked very good. Ole Miss has looked very good. But have they looked like Georgia? No. But we'll see Saturday. That's why we play the games, boys.
Cannot wait. Wes, thanks again, man. We got to run. Appreciate you. And, guys, you
anytime,
can...
Anytime, guys.
Yeah, man. Certainly the Falcons got some work to do. Everybody kind of agrees that we've done some good things, but we're just missing. You know, and fingers are like this close apart, Carl. You know what I mean? You know, everyone's got to be better. Cousins got to be better. We got to get the edge rush cranked up some more. But I think most people around the country still feel, you know, like we heard Dan Orlovsky say this morning on ESPN, we can hang with anybody.
And I do.
Just got to finish.
Yeah, and we got to learn to win, man. Listen, the Chiefs, they've been doing this for a long.
Right.
You guys do realize they've been in the AFC Championship game every year since Mahomes took over as starter. They've been learning how to win these close, big games for a while now. All right, we're coming back. We got more to get to. Braves, Mets, we'll finish our thoughts on that. We'll tell you what's coming up tomorrow on the show and more. It's Dukes and Bell. Braves, Mets. Mike mentioned Acuna brothers exchanging jerseys. And it's good to see Acuna, by the way. You know,
right.
Again,
albeit hanging out with his bro, who's on the Mets.
Yeah, I need to see him run and steal some bases. Austin Riley out for the remainder of the season. If you're just joining us, I don't know if it's a surprise. It shouldn't be. They said this is going to be 6 to 8 weeks, but he underwent a CT scan to evaluate the healing of his right hand and the fracture to determine whether doctors could remove his cast. And they were like,
it's not there.
Not there.
Yeah, and we said this earlier. We always kind of knew. You were like, you know, pretty pleased, fingers crossed. And it always seemed like the odds were really long that he would make it back. So Austin Riley shut down. Snicker, you're going to hear the whole interview he did with Sandra and Steak in the Steakhouse.
Let me understand this. We're trying to do this without Acuna.
Correct.
Strider.
Check.
Riley.
Check. Without half of our catching platoon, because Murphy's horrible.
A.J. Minter.
Yeah, by the way, can we just run with Darnell the whole way, the last six?
Sean Murphy can't hit.
He just can't hit?
I know.
We know he's a great, right? And even though in Miami he wasn't that great the other night when he tries to Olay the backhand on a wild. Don't get me started. Yes, I want to see little D the rest of the way for the Braves.
Yeah, and I have no issues with that. I'm just saying, like, if I would have told you, by the way, the Braves will have a 3-game series with the Mets at the end of the season.
And we're counting on Urshela and Laureano.
And we won't have, Strider, Acuna, Riley. Yeah, they'll be done for the year.
No, look, it's not impossible. What? It's not impossible.
No, it's not. It's not. I mean, look, because the pitching can keep us in these, right, in these games.
That's the thing. I mean, look, if the best team always won the World Series, you know, Bobby Cox's Braves would have had six or more. You know, Tony La Russa would have had a few more with the A's. You know, but the odds, but the thing is, though, you still got to get guys whose true definition of their baseball career is journeyman.
Yeah.
Which means
did you say bum?
No, I didn't say bum. Oh. I heard
bum.
With three against the Mets, I'm trying to be positive.
Okay.
But you're trying to get some clutch out of these guys, and sometimes they've responded. Sometimes it's amazing. We always said earlier this week, can we just bank some of these other runs we're scoring? But now you got to be clutch. And the Mets, now let's be honest.
What?
The Mets have more pressure on them.
Yes, they do.
Because they've clawed and leapfrogged the Braves.
They've been better.
But the Mets historically have shown the ability to kind of gack it in these moments. Let's hope that holds true.
All right. Chris is in here. He's got the night show. Turtle is going to have you full three, by the way.
3 hours of turtleness coming at you.
Yeah, it's turtle night madness. Come on, Corey. Okay. You know what it is.
Right. Mike, I told him, and I'm sharing this with the audience because, well, I don't care. I told him as he came in today, I said, man, you know, a full day of fun and shenanigans. And then the night show, huh? And he kind of laughed. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
You know, he's got this hot girlfriend he's dating. And I was like, man, I kind of miss nights when I was doing, when I was coming up in this business.
Right.
Doing nights, like you had all day to do whatever you wanted, shenanigans and sex and fun. And then you do your show and then you'd leave and guess what? And then she'd be waiting on you and then you'd go home to that.
Right on. Do you have the smokeless ashtray when you work nights?
They had those. Everybody smoked back then.
We all smoked. I was 2 packs a day, man. But that's the voice, Steve, for radio.
But we were coming up. Enough about us. What's going on with you?
Yes.
No, Carl's just living vicariously through me right now. That's okay. That's all right.
Are you admitting that that's what's going on in your life right now?
I'm certainly not admitting it.
Okay, fair enough. I just see, look, he's getting a tan, Mike. I mean, I know. The face, everything's changing.
Look at you on a day of relaxation.
I'd say it's relaxation.
And now I'm coming in spitting fire for the next 3 hours.
Hot take turtle.
What do you got, man?
All right. A couple of days now removed from the game, right?
Look how cool he is. See what she does to him?
Yeah, bringing it down.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Since you've been dating this girl, you are much cooler.
Well, you know what? Yeah. Sometimes
he's more relaxed.
And lighter.
What do you expect?
And lighter, because she's obviously putting some work in.
All right. A couple of days now since the game.
Yeah.
You feeling good? Because we kept it close?
I don't feel miserable as I normally would after a 1-2 start. I feel, we just said it, man, that there are things that are working. You're just not finishing. You're close enough. Guys around the country who, you know, who played football, who talk about football, think we're good. We just got to close. We got to finish. And I still think Zach Robinson's got to figure out a few more of the tools in this toolbox. I always got to use them, like Kyle Pitts.
I'll tell you why you should feel good about the Saints game coming up.
All right.
And it has nothing to do with finishing.
You want a coffee?
Yeah.
And why are you talking about? Why did you say finishing that?
Why are you talking like that? What the hell did you do today?
I know what he did. I told you.
He's blushing.
I walked out there. I was like, "Nice show, huh?"
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Carl, skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight.
Let's get out of here, man. Dom, let's clear our throats.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
Tomorrow we are at Flowery Branch. Why am I talking like that? We will have Coach with us. Coach Ra will be with us. We're going to talk to Coach Ra. We're going to talk to a couple players as well. And we're going to focus on the Saints. It's Wednesday. All right? We got to flush it.
Mm.
It sucked. I wanted to win. I know you did. But we need to beat these Saints. And it's personal. So we're all over that. We'll find out what happens in this game tonight with the Braves. Make sure you tune in tomorrow, guys. And also, we will dive deeper as the week goes on into the Dogs Crimson Tide game.
Right on.
Biggest game of the weekend. All right. Dom, thanks for stepping in.
I knew Turtle was really mellow when he came in wearing a smoking jacket.
I'm telling you, dude. Yeah, something ain't right. Dom, thank you for stepping in for Big O. Tomorrow, guys, be here at 2 o'clock. Mike Bell, let's get out of here, man. Clear your throat.
Yeah, we'll be at the branch, bruh. Hey, man, you know, sometimes we talk about leadership or taking a bigger role with the team. I don't know, maybe growing up a little bit more. No one debates that Trae Young is one of the best players to ever dress out in a Hawks uniform, but it's kind of cool to see him a few weeks ago taking Reese Hoshea over to Oklahoma to watch some college ball, and then you saw him at the Falcons game. And, you know, saying, and people picked it up, people were either reading the lips or heard the audio saying, yeah, this town, man, it's an amazing town, and Reese Hoshea says you're going to love it. Initially, you know, when he was asked about the draft pick, Trey's like, yeah, there's a lot of role players in this draft. And I think, you know, he realized the optics on that weren't great, but he's forging a relationship with a guy, if all goes well, can be a rock star in this town with Jalen Johnson and Trey, and I like the way that sounds. Let's go.
I'm with you on that. Best quarterback in the NFL right now is Josh Allen. 133 quarterback rating, 7 touchdowns, no picks. He's completing 75% of his completions. All of those numbers are off the charts. And just to put a comparison out there, Anthony Richardson's QBR is 55. Give Josh credit. He lost arguably the best and most explosive wide receiver in Diggs, and they haven't missed a beat. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you didn't pick up Sam Darnold off waivers. Don't tell anybody.
It was pain everywhere.